Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is State of Emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. And Friday energy, it is indeed.
Through the roof.
It is feeling real good because
it's vacation.
It's vacation
Woo!
Time.
Summer vacation. Vacation's all I ever wanted.
Yep, that's where we knew we were going with
yeah,
that.
Yes, we knew which one. Yeah.
But it is vacation time. We have off all next week, so there will be no episodes. We'll be back on Monday the 19th. Monday the 12th. Holy shit.
I was like,
Monday the 12th. So
we just
all next week.
We
won't have trivia, but we're going to move past that. We are off all next week. The Barstool office is closed. We get this week off every single year. The only 2 weeks we get off is this upcoming week and then the week after Christmas and New Year's Eve. So
yes. Everybody takes full advantage.
Yes.
Because it's hard to really take off time that's not these 2 weeks.
Exactly. So we're super excited. Franny 80 Packs is making her way to Italy.
She sure is.
God damn, am I jealous. I'm so jealous.
Fam's going to be smoking so many cigs. I'm going to be the only one not. And then I've never smoked a cigarette.
But with your family, why not?
I don't. Yeah, maybe. But it's just, it's.
I was like that for a while.
Physical act of smoking is what I don't, regardless of what it is, like joints, cigarettes, like. The physical act of smoking is what bothers
me.
It's not like what's the inside.
Just
fake it.
Well, don't inhale the cigarette.
No, but I can't. Like, it looks so unnatural. Remember when they gave me the fake cigarette and they were all like, Fran, put that down. You look I look like a narc.
Everyone got very uncomfortable.
I don't even know how to hold a cigarette. That's how pathetic it is.
Everyone got very uncomfortable.
You feel cool.
You do.
Unless you're like, I don't know what to do with this.
You just let it flick. I've watched my parents do it for far too long.
Yeah.
But Italy, it's amazing. It looks unreal already, and that's going to be an amazing time. I mean, please don't send pictures because I'll be upset.
No problem.
But send them as well.
I'm hoping, we say this every single time we have a break or we take some time off from doing the show. We're like, oh, can't wait to, turn our phones off and disconnect. This time I'm doing it.
I'm doing it too.
Are you?
I think I'm really going to do it. I think I'm going to go potentially turning my phone off for 2 days.
You should do that. That sounds amazing.
I know.
I probably won't be doing that because I don't have any elaborate plans whatsoever. I'm going to the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, you need your phone in the Jersey Shore.
Oh, I definitely do. My first time at the Jersey Shore.
The first time.
Oh my God.
Popping
pray for me.
The Jersey Shore cherry.
Pray for Rhea. Seriously, pray for me.
You're going to have so much fun. The Jersey Shore is a fucking blast. And the 4th of July weekend is so much fun down there.
It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also just going to be a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. It's a lot of people from work.
A lot. I mean, it will be a good time, but I'm afraid I'm going to act a fool. In the
Who
best
cares?
Way possible.
Yeah.
In the best
yeah,
way
exactly.
possible.
This is the time to act a fool. Especially because you come back from the weekend. 4th of July is on a Sunday. So that Monday, we have the whole week. So it's like, you can just go into hiding for the rest of the week.
You have time to hibernate.
Almost like two trips in one. It's like you get to go to the Jersey Shore, but then go home and just be like, wow, that Jersey Shore weekend.
That happened.
By the time we all come back to work, everyone's going to forget.
Exactly. I realize I'm up to no good when I started kind of daydreaming about me getting drunk and ending up at the tattoo shop getting a lip tattoo that says GTL. I was like, okay, this is heading, because I'm already thinking that way. Yeah. Imagine you get a couple shots in me, a couple drinks. I have no idea where my life is headed on that boardwalk.
it's funny because we have talked ourselves so much about the Jersey Shore because I have gone so many times and you've never been, and I have always spent my time being like, no, there's so many other places. It's not the boardwalk and all those things you see on the show and all those things. There's so many different towns and it spans for so far. There's just so many different places you could go to. And the first time you're going is to fucking see scientists.
Okay, here's the thing, though. We are, I think we won't be going out in Seaside.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We'll be going to the, because we want to fully embrace the Jersey, like, we want to act like we are on the show Jersey Shore, obviously, because we all love Jersey Shore. So we're like, we are fully embracing our trash bagness.
Yeah, I mean, there was, there is a house that was part of the Barstool vs. America prize. If you guys didn't watch Barstool vs. America, highly recommend. It was like just our own little reality show sponsored by a fellow seltzer that we can't
talk about.
But the show is fantastic.
The show was so good. And obviously the prize was this house.
Yeah.
And even who, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter who won, because everyone was going to go to this house no matter
for
what.
For sure. Like, for sure. There, well, besides the cash prize.
Right.
There was a cash prize involved and the house. So.
But everyone knew that whoever wins the house, everyone from work is going to end up at that house anyway. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And
I think it's funny. It really is kind of like the Barstool summer of the Jersey Shore. Like, you guys are all going to the Jersey Shore. I know, like, PFT has talked about how he rented a house at the Jersey Shore. Like, everybody is embracing the Jersey Shore this summer.
The fact that this isn't being filmed is incredible, because it would
for the best.
It is for the best, but also
not for the best,
because
it would,
because
be really,
it would be on, people would eat it up if we filmed every weekend at the Jersey Shore acting like we're on Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
we may just take over the cast.
Yeah,
that's not happening, but nonetheless, I'm excited. Should be a good time.
It, I think you guys are gonna have so much fun. So, like we said, we will not be here next week. Very sorry. I know that.
No cutting stems Monday.
Yeah, we're fully turning off for a little bit. So we'll be back, but we are going to close off with a great show. We got some great stuff lined up. I know we've been talking about Britney Spears every single episode, but there's just so much that continues to happen.
I'm sorry.
You're flummy today.
I'm a little flummy, and I just had a big sushi lunch.
Big sushi lunch?
I can't even speak. Big sushi lunch. I got some indigestion that I have to work on. I want to mention, though, I want to give a shout out to my Nano, who is visiting from Florida. And first of all, we smoke together every night, and it's my favorite thing that we do. This man loves weed, and we get high together every night, and he says ridiculous things, and he is so funny. Last night, I was like, no, let me take a picture of you. And he just stuck the finger out at me, and I posted on my Instagram story. He's 83 years old. I swear to God, the amount of people who were like, there is no way this man is 83 years old.
He really doesn't look like he's 83.
People were like,
he really doesn't.
People were like, he's Italian, he smokes weed, let us know. Does he have money too? Like, people were getting thirsty in the DMs for Nono.
I would have guessed, like, if I just saw that, like, mid 60s maybe.
Yeah, that would have been my
guess.
I
think the facial hair.
That would
hair
be my guess
helps.
Also.
He has a goatee right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the only other time I've ever seen him was the, like, what's it called, picture? The cucumber,
cucumber. With the giant. What is it
called?
The squash, the zucchini,
it's the Italian name for it. Now I'm blanking on it. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't know.
Shit.
Gagoots.
No.
Yes, it is. I know for a fact.
I feel like it's a longer name.
No, Gagoutsa.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was.
Gagoots. Yep.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
It's the slang term, really, for it.
Right, exactly. But it's been a pleasure having him, and I just want to say all your DMs are cracking me up. Like, people
want my Nono. He also has, like,
great
skin.
He has great skin, and it's because he is so active every day. Yeah. He plays he plays tennis every day in Florida, but now he came home and was playing tennis every day here. He's walking constantly, smoking weed.
Look, we always joke about setting him up with my grandma. My grandma is also extremely active. They're around the same age. You know, my grandma golfs like every day, but I truly think Nono's too much of a player for Mima.
Listen, Nono is too much of a player.
I think I'd be a bad granddaughter.
Nono is too much of a player because listen to this.
He's not settling down.
No, he's not settling down. He's got multiple girlfriends, I think. Life. Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
RIP to my grandmother, Betty. Love you. Miss you. Anyways, my Nono, like, has this, I wouldn't say girlfriend specifically, but a girl that he has been hanging out with for multiple years now, okay? They went out to eat together, and my Nono commented on another girl's boobs to the woman he was with. He said, she's got great boobs. Because with my grandma...
Bonk, no.
Yeah, literally, bonk, horny jail, no.
Horny jail, no.
Because with my grandma, they just, you know, he would say that and my grandma would laugh and be like, she does have great tits. Like, just the way they were.
Yeah.
So he said
once
that
you're
to
in
her,
a relationship for long enough, it works. But in something new, it doesn't work.
When you're in a relationship long enough, you start appreciating everyone together.
Yep.
This wasn't working for her and she's mad and he does not understand why she's mad. And we're like, no, you cannot be commenting on another woman's boobs to your girlfriend who is not really your girlfriend. Yeah. It's not going to work out.
No.
So Nano is a little bit of a player for me, Ma, but they would be a good, maybe a fun night. Ew. Let's get on with the show.
Yep. Please.
Let's get on with the show. Anyways, we'll be talking about Britney Spears again. Like we said, a lot to catch up on. We will also be talking about the loan drama.
PPP loans.
The PPP loans. The drama with the Bachelor people.
Yep.
They're in some hot water with that. And we will also be talking about this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Erica Jane, Lisa Rinna talking about Scott Disick and Amelia Gray. And we have a great interview with Charlie Jordan, TikTok star, model, DJ. She's doing it all. And,
YouTuber.
No trivia. So let's get into it, starting off with Britney Spears.
If you're struggling to find that great pair of sunglasses this summer, we have the answer for you. It's sunglass season. You need variety. You need options. You know, beach sunglasses, going out sunglasses, day sunglasses. You can find them all at Nectar. There are new go-tos. Nectar sunglasses hails from the East Coast. It just hits home with us. We love the style. We love the tortoise shell, the frames, the lenses. They're the perfect summer shades for every occasion. They also have a lifetime warranty, which is amazing. They cover you if absolutely anything happens. I remember there was a summer that I was swimming in the ocean and I forgot I had my sunglasses on the top of my head and I went under, gone. Goodbye. Couldn't find them. Water's dark. You never see
R.I.P.
them. I know. But with your Nectar sunglasses, doesn't matter. You
don't
can just
fret.
Tell them. You'll get another pair. So there you go. It's amazing. So if you're tired of wearing the same styles as everyone else, you want to spice it up, try something new, go to Nectar Sunglasses. They're stylish, polarized. They start at only $50. Rhea has been wearing her Luray shades with the malt tortoise frame.
Yep.
If you watched her episode for Monday, she had them on.
They're my hangover sunglasses.
They're great sunglasses. We kind of share them a little bit. I had them on before. They're really nice. They have a great lens that you feel like everything. You're just very protected. I got my blue light glasses on right now. They also make blue light
looking
glasses.
Looking mighty fine.
Just saying. So,
looking,
you know,
mighty
if you're
fine.
In the market for some blue light glasses, Nectar has you there. Also, they offer all shoppers free shipping, lifetime warranty. They're giving our listeners 25% off. We love our Nectar sunglasses, so make sure to visit NectarSunglasses.com/CITO to get your own today. That's NectarSunglasses.com/CITO.
Obviously, a lot has happened in the past week with Britney Spears. We heard all about her court hearing, and then everyone was wondering what is happening with all the Jamies. We talked about that last episode. Jamie Lynn Spears then got on her story on Monday, and I'll be honest, let's play it.
Hey everybody, I just want to take a second to address a few things. The only reason I haven't before is because I felt like until my sister was able to speak for herself and say what she felt she needed to say publicly, that it wasn't my place and it wasn't the right thing to do. But now that she's very clearly spoken and said what she needed to say, I feel like I can follow her lead and say what I feel I need to say. I think it's extremely clear. Since the day I was born, I've only loved, adored, and supported my sister. I mean, this is my freaking big sister before any of this bullshit. I don't care if she wants to run away to a rainforest and have a zillion babies in the middle of nowhere, or if she wants to come back and dominate the world the way she has so many times before. Because I have nothing to gain or lose either way. This situation does not affect me either way, because I am only her sister who is only concerned about her happiness. I've made a very conscious choice in my life to only participate in her life as her sister, as an aunt to those boys. Maybe I didn't support her the way the public would like me to with a hashtag on a public platform, but I can assure you that I've supported my sister long before there was a hashtag, and I'll support her long after. Note that. I mean, I've worked since I was 9 years old. I've paid my own freaking bills since I was 10 years old. Not that I owe the public anything, because my sister knows I love and support her. That's the only person I owe anything to. I'm not my family. I am my own person. I'm speaking for myself. I'm so proud of her for using her voice. I'm so proud of her for requesting new counsel, like I told her to do many years ago. Oh, not on a big public platform, but just in a personal conversation between two sisters. So I'm very proud that she's taken that step. If ending the conservatorship, if flying to Mars or whatever the hell else she wants to do to be happy, I support that 100% because I support my sister. I love my sister, always have, always will, as long as she's happy. So let's keep praying. That's all.
I didn't really like the direction that Jamie Lynn Spears was going with this. I kind of felt like she was getting very defensive. Obviously, yeah. We don't know the reasons behind her not speaking up, because she could be being paid. She could be being threatened. There's multiple reasons that could go into this, so I understand that. But where she threw me off was when she said that this does not affect her life. Because in the beginning of it, she was saying, you know, this is my big sister. I care about her a lot. I love her, whatever. And then she starts saying that this does not affect her life. How does this not affect your life? Your sister clearly needs help.
Yeah.
If this was happening with my sister and this was going on with my parents, I would be pissed at them. It would be affecting my life. So I kind of felt like, you know, it seemed like she was fake crying. I wasn't really buying Jamie Lynn Spears' story.
Yeah, it was weird. This is really tough for me. I do not know where I fall with Jamie Lynn Spears. One day, I think like, I think she's just trying to do what Britney wants. And then the next, I'm like, she could be doing more. And then I'm like, but does Britney want her doing more? Like, I just can't decide. I go back and forth. I feel like because Britney did not speak about this for so long that it always made sense that Jamie Lynn didn't, because it was like, well, I'm not going to speak for my sister and the whole deal. And the way that Britney explained it with, you know, saying she didn't think people would believe her and things like that, it would make sense then if Jamie Lynn had said like, oh, I'm going to share this or whatever. And Britney was like, oh, please don't, you know, something like that. But it feels like that didn't happen. But she just kind of, like, if that was the case and Britney then spoke and then a couple days later Jamie Lynn speaks and it's like, okay, well, now I'm speaking because Britney just did. Now I can do it. I couldn't do it before. I don't know. It was like a few days late. It was like many days had passed at that point since Britney had spoken up at the hearing. So it's all a little shady. You know, there was a TikTok going around that went viral about Jamie Lynn's involvement just money-wise when it comes to a specific trust that was made for Britney's kids that Jamie Lynn in 2018, I believe, was put in charge of. And then, like, the just lawyer situation. Like, it all is very complicated and very deep. But it does feel like everybody has had their grubby paws involved in some way. And now it's just a fucking finger game. Everyone's right. Just like pointing their fingers at other people and saying, this is, oh no, that's their fault. Oh, this is his fault. Oh, that's her fault. It's like nobody, so it just continues to do that way. It's like all these people coming out and being like, I knew this about Britney for so long, and pointing fingers, and then that person's like, no, it was actually this person, and it's been dragging on.
I think the only person that is innocent in all of this is Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Even the problems that she may have had in the past, that does not make her subject to what's going on right now.
Right.
It seems like a lot of people have had their hands on her life and she's had really no control because there's a billion people telling her what to do at all times. And I think that they're all involved. I think they all know stuff, obviously, that we don't know. I think Jamie Lynn knows stuff. I think her husband Jamie knows stuff. Jamie Spears knows stuff. Lynn Spears. They all know something shady, and what they're doing is shady. And Jamie Lynn lost me with the cat stuff. With the multiple cats. I don't want to get back into it because people are pissed about that. And they said it's not her fault. But, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get multiple cats.
Running over multiple cats. Because of her Tesla.
It becomes your problem.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. One cat, maybe it's the Tesla. Two cats, maybe the Tesla. Three cats, it's you. So I'm not really buying what Jamie Lynn Spears is putting out there. Of course, there are other things that could go into this. Like you said, her not speaking because Brittany didn't speak. Yes, yeah. That would make sense because if Jamie Lynn opened her mouth, right. Then Brittany would had to have opened her mouth. So, yes, Brittany had to speak first. But it seems like behind the scenes, we don't know much, but it doesn't seem like Jamie Lynn was trying to do anything back there. Maybe she was profiting off of it.
It came off extremely defensive. It came off in a way that she felt she needed to respond because people were calling her out, and less of like genuine care for Brittany and more being like yelling at the assholes.
Yeah, you had Christina Aguilera giving a more genuine post about Britney Spears than her own sister.
That is true. Christina posted a statement that really was maybe like the, I don't even know. I feel like it was the most well-written statement from a celebrity that we have seen who's been able to speak about this. You know, we've seen other people share Free Britney things on social media or put out statements. But she wrote, "These past few days, I've been thinking about Britney and everything she's going through. It is unacceptable that any woman or human wanting to be in control of their own destiny might not be allowed to live life as they wish. To be silenced, ignored, bullied, or denied support by those close to you is the most depleting, devastating, and demeaning thing imaginable. The harmful mental and emotional damage this can take on a human spirit is nothing to be taken lightly. Every woman must have the right to her own body, her own productive system, her own privacy, her own space, her own healing, and her own happiness. To a woman who has worked under conditions and pressure unimaginable to most, I promise you she deserves all the freedom possible to live her happiest life. My heart goes out to Brittany. She deserves all the true love and support in the world." She also shared a picture of them. It was a very cute photo of them when they were young. And
She hit all the points. Obviously, one of the saddest things to me is that Brittany doesn't have control of her own body. She can't go to the doctor. She's not in control if she can have kids. She has an IUD in you, which can be very dangerous if you don't get that checked. You're supposed to get that checked every year. So it's like, it's pretty disgusting. Not even pretty. It's very disgusting that this is happening. And on top of that, now the judge has denied the request for Jamie Spears to be taken off the conservatorship. Yep. It's still going to be split 50-50. So he gets the 50% of that. He's still in control of that. But apparently that is different from what is now happening, what Britney's just trying to end the conservatorship as a whole.
Yeah.
But I'm worried because if the judge is denying Jamie being taken off the conservatorship, what makes anybody think she's just going to end it as a whole?
For sure.
It's very scary to think about. How can you hear everything that she said? Especially that, like, the doctor thing, I think that stood out to everybody the most. Like, that is fucked up to not let somebody go to the doctor and check on their own body. It's so fucked up. How is this happening?
The judge, this woman, Brenda Penny, she...
And as a woman, too, it's just crazy.
So she basically, this week, was, like, denied the petition to completely remove Jamie Spears, which they filed in the end of like 2020. And so that's what was going on. We've been talking about from the beginning, and that's when it did feel like it was moving in the right direction because she split it 50-50 between Jamie and the Bessemer Trust. It's staying that way. And this is, like you said, different than a petition to completely end the conservatorship, which Brittany and her legal team has yet to actually file. There are rumors that she is pushing for it and she really wants it, and she's been telling her lawyers that she wants to do it. It hasn't, I don't believe, officially been filed yet. And so that is a completely different case. So I think a lot of people saw the headlines like Jamie Spears is staying on and thought that that was in response to what Brittany had said in the last hearing. And it's all kind of just getting very confusing at this point. It's the same thing what we're saying, that is this lawyer even the guy that has her best interest at heart? It seems like maybe not. She's been involved for a very long time. It's just all these people coming out of the woodwork. Sam Lutfi, Jason Alexander, her first husband that they were married to for like 2 days, like, are coming out with all these crazy statements. And Jason said that... Brittany and Jamie Lynn haven't spoken in a year. It's like, how could you possibly know that, Jason Alexander? And this is not Seinfeld, Jason Alexander.
That was hilarious. Good yesterday.
I kept saying Jason Alexander during the group chat. Noah was like, so Jason Alexander? And I was like, yeah, no. Different person, childhood friend of Britney's.
I mean, in the late 90s,
Jason Alexander.
Like, yeah. Pretty hot.
No, I know, I know, I know.
It could have been.
Yeah. He was not Britney Spears' first husband.
So funny, though, when you see the headlines about it.
Yeah.
Because your initial reaction is like, wait a second, Jason Alexander's getting involved in this now? Yeah. Because everybody's getting involved. Who? I wouldn't be shocked if the real Jason Alexander got involved in this.
I was
around in the 90s.
If he just, like, wears a free Britney t-shirt or something. Like,
needs to happen.
So these guys are, you know, Sam Lutvey is tweeting and posting, and he's the guy, if you don't remember, like, around 2008, 2007, 2008, when the biggest problems with Britney were happening, that he was, you know, the guy that her family was blaming a lot of the problems on, saying, oh, this, he's bad news, a bad influence, all these things, and that's why they needed to take control. And now he's saying, wow, now you know. You know, you kind of, everyone kind of knows the truth that it wasn't me, it was them. And there's all these old clips resurfacing of him talking back then and being like, yeah, it's pretty sad when she doesn't have, you know, the ability to do these things on her own. And looking back, it's crazy to hear him say it now. Do we trust Sam Lutvey? I don't know. He's had a lot of issues.
I don't trust any of these guys. I don't trust any of the guys.
He's had problems with Courtney Love. They were in a battle for a while.
I don't trust any of these guys involved in Britney Spears' life.
No, I know.
I think too many men are trying to handle Britney Spears' life, and it's very sad to see.
I know. A lot of the Britney fan accounts shared that now they believe that, like, Jamie Spears and TMZ Harvey have been, like, in cahoots for all these years.
And that made and me that all disgusted.
The, yeah, that all, like, the terrible TMZ stories that would come out about Britney, like, a lot of it came from Jamie. And even just this week, a TMZ story came out about Jamie. You know, he hasn't even spoken to Britney in a year, and he's not allowed to see her, and he's looking out for her best interest. And he actually starts pointing the fingers at Jody Montgomery, the woman who was appointed to help in the conservatorship, saying this is actually all her, and he's not involved. And like I said before, it's everybody just pointing at each other, and there's no firm answers. All we know is we hope that Britney is enjoying her time in Hawaii. All the fans thought maybe she wasn't even in Hawaii. They were like, oh, these look like posts from last year that
Britney,
they're just resurfacing.
Run. Go to Hawaii and run and hide. Get out of here.
I hope she doesn't leave Hawaii. And then the last thing I wanted to share about this too is Iggy Azalea posted on Twitter, which she worked with Britney later in the later years, you know, 2015, around the time when Britney was working heavily and doing so much stuff, and that, you know, Britney and Iggy had that collab. And she tweeted out saying, it's basic human decency to, at the very least, remove a person Britney has identified as abusive from her life. This should be illegal. During the time we worked together in 2015, I personally witnessed the same behavior Britney detailed in regards to her father last week. And I just want to back her up and tell the world that she is not exaggerating or lying. I saw her restricted from even the most bizarre and trivial things, like how many sodas she was allowed to drink. Was that even necessary? Her father conveniently waited until literally moments before our BMA's performance, when I was backstage in the dressing room, and told me if I did not sign an NDA, he would not allow me on stage. The way he went about getting me to sign a contract sounded similar to the tactics Britney spoke about last week in regards to her Las Vegas show. Jamie Spears has a habit of making people sign documents while under duress, it seems. And Britney Spears should not be forced to coexist with that man when she's made it clear it is negatively impacting her mental health. This is not right at all.
I mean, just hearing it from somebody who was around them is very important.
Yeah.
Because there are some people being like, well, how do we even know Britney Spears is telling the truth? And to me, that's sad, because how are you not even going to believe the person who is finally coming out and saying all of this? So I think it's a great thing that Iggy Azalea stepped in and to not be afraid of what's to come after that, because it seems like Jamie and the rest of the people controlling Britney are very powerful people. So you never know what's going to happen to Iggy Azalea now, who's going to get pissed at her, but I'm glad she said something. And all we can hope is that there are better things ahead for Britney Spears, but at this point, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of be hopeful about it when you just kind of keep seeing these things where it feels like nothing is changing. And if we just continue to wait weeks and weeks here and they continue to not file the petition to end it, it's going to drag it out even more. And like they said when Britney spoke, if they can file and then a family member can say, you know, she's not qualified for this, and then the whole thing goes into a whole different process. So it's going to be a long road, and we're just going to keep hearing about it because the media absolutely freaked out after Britney actually spoke out. So now everybody has their two cents that they want to put in. A lot of talk this week about PPP loans and Bachelor Nation. Two things I did not think we would be combining, but those sleuths over on the Bachelor Reddit did some serious digging and found out that Tayshia, Ari and Lauren, Colt and Dale all filed for PPP loans during the pandemic. They all got them. Each of their loans were around $20,000. Colton's was a little bit less, I think around 11-ish. And everybody freaked out about this. I think that it's continued to be that way when we saw big corporations apply for PPP loans and get them. You know, the Lakers, you know, gave money back. I think they talk about this with Tom Brady, Kanye, mm-hmm. all these things where the system has massive holes and the program failed so many actual small businesses, and yet these people are getting these loans successfully, and that obviously blew up. We've gotten some responses from people. You know, Tayshia had her representative put out a statement saying that she used that loan to hire an employee.
Not
and it was
good.
A previously unemployed person, and then it hired that employee and then used the money to keep her on as whatever that person's role was. And then when the loan ran out, she continued to pay the person.
To me, that screams I didn't want to spend my own Instagram ad money on
paying an employee
for paying an employee, so I'm gonna get a loan to pay for the employee.
Yeah, and that's just
it's kind of
like,
messed up because people get a lot of money for Instagram ads. So
yeah.
You do a swipe up. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
So to me, that just seems like it was a selfish move.
Yeah. And Nick Viall really got involved in this on Twitter, on TikTok. He had a lot to say about it. And people were mad. People were agreeing with him. He went back and forth with Chris Randone about this on Twitter. Chris Randone being like, don't get mad at the actual people, get mad at the system, get mad at the government. Nick Viall's like, yeah, we can get mad at both. Like, because Chris Randone was basically saying that, like, we don't know the actual financial situation for some of these people. And I understand that, but coming from someone like Nick, who has a huge platform and, you know, makes money off of his social media, and seeing these other people who have that kind of following and have that base where, like, they could potentially be doing the same thing, I would respect his opinion on it. I want to play his TikTok because I feel like his opinion I just kind of completely agree with.
Let's talk about the PPP loan drama going on in Bachelor Nation. So for those of you who don't know, the PPP program was a government program set up in the early days of COVID to help small businesses survive the tragedies of COVID. Small businesses like, you know, restaurants and mom and pop shops and things like that, right? Often is the case, these programs are taken advantage of and used for things that weren't intended for. And we know that a lot of notable public figures have done so. And a lot of people will argue, like, well, it's not illegal. They have the right to do it. It's up to the government to make sure the program can't be taken advantage of. And, like, sure, you can argue that if you want to. But we're talking about doing the right thing. And I'm not trying to sound all righteous or whatever. And I've certainly accepted things I didn't need in the past. But when it comes to my peers in Bachelor Nation, right, like, there's often a disparity in what people expect in terms of what we make versus the reality, right? That is true. And we don't know everyone's situation. But I am familiar with a lot of my peers' situation in the sense that many of us are often, especially those of us who have been given the opportunity to be leads, are given incredible opportunities and privilege when it comes to earning potential. Unique opportunities. And that doesn't take anything away from the hard work we might put into our careers, whether it's our podcast or whether it's hosting or acting or whatever it is. But we nonetheless are given insane amount of opportunities that we didn't have before as a result of being on the show. And we talk about using our platforms for good and having good character and being influencers. And I'm assuming if you're going to be an influencer, you're going to use that influence for the right thing, right? To be a good example. And people talk about having good character, and good character is doing the right thing when people aren't looking.
And I can't imagine any of these people thought anyone would look. Let's be honest, right? These programs weren't intended for people to say, oh, now I can hire an assistant or, you know, use it on whatever they want for their business, like, or hire new people. Like, I have two businesses. I have employees I pay out of my own pocket. And it just felt wrong for me to apply any of my businesses for this because it's not what it was intended for. So did anyone do anything illegal? No, they absolutely didn't. But if you're going to take public funds, right, if you're going to have a public platform, you're going to be open to public criticism. And people can debate whether it was their right to do it or not. I'm not debating that. But, like, it's the semantics to pretend it wasn't shitty or it wasn't the wrong thing to do, even if it means that they were savvy. So that's what I think about that. For those of you who did take it, maybe, like, give it back or donate it to a small business in need and then, like, throw up a post about, you know, teeth whitener or something like that. And get that money back in like two posts, you know. So, you know, do what it's intended for.
Shout out Nikki V. This guy is always speaking facts. Is it a hot take for me to say that if you have an assistant or need an assistant, you have enough money to pay the assistant? Right? Yeah. Like if you are doing
like
that
Nick
much,
said, throw up like, two posts about teeth whitening and you're
and
good
boom,
to go.
You're good. If you have an assistant, you are working a lot.
Yeah.
No? So that means getting money. That's why I'm confused about this whole thing. But I think you're right. I think Nikki V,
right,
which I gotta stop calling him Nikki V, explained it in the best way possible. I think you'd be mad at both parties here.
And it's same with Jason Tartik. He had said that, you know, he could have applied, but because all those like speaking events and in-person events, all those things, you know, would like they lost money from not being able to do those things. But those things went down. Social ads, you know, went up. People posting, looking for content online became a bigger outlet and a bigger ad source for people. And so he said he ended up not doing it, but could understand why some people did. We haven't heard from Dale. I'm not sure what went down there. I think it was the same thing where he filed under his own personal LLC. Colton wants to be excluded from this narrative big time. Colton, also, it was for his nonprofit. So I really do actually think Colton is off the hook here. Like Colton's nonprofit, their biggest thing is their charity events. That's how they make their money. They weren't able to host these charity events. And he posted on his story saying, my nonprofit filed for a PPP because we canceled our charity events for the year. We help people live with cystic fibrosis. I don't make a dime from my nonprofit. Please stop lumping me in with The Bachelor. I don't fuck with them anymore. They don't fuck with me. Point blank.
Oh, okay, then go off Colton.
But I actually that makes a lot of sense to me. They did cancel. It was under his nonprofit.
Yeah.
And I you got to be a pretty shitty person to be taking money from your own nonprofit. So,
right.
What does he mean they don't fuck with him? They like all supported him recently when it came out. Like,
well, maybe he's just talking about the like
behind the scenes
franchise.
Yeah.
Is this also another hot take, but maybe not so hot? I think there were a lot of people who struggled during the pandemic, are still struggling to this day. A lot of small businesses.
Yeah.
Content creators are not the people to be worried about during this time. Because, right, like you said, there was a demand for online content in all ways, yeah, shape, or form. Because all people were doing were
sitting
going on their,
on
phones,
their phones,
sitting at home, going on YouTube.
Watching
TV. I started watching YouTube on my TV for the first time during that time. And now, yeah, I don't stop. Like, there was a demand for that. And now it's continued on that path. So I feel like they're not the people that anybody should feel bad for or feel like they missed out on money.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, some were struggling. I'm not going to take that away. It could be hard. You know,
it's completely a case by case basis, but when it comes to these Bachelor people,
yeah, it's hard to be like,
it's hard
I
to
felt
imagine
bad for them
that
during the pandemic.
It's hard to imagine that they needed, yeah, a $20,000.
It's like saying we
loan.
Were like, oh, feel bad. We were perfectly okay because, yeah, we were able to create the podcast
you guys
and put
like,
things
we have
out.
To pay Noah.
Like, yeah, like it's, yeah, it just is a bit,
yeah,
crazy.
I mean, Ari and Lauren filed for a PPP under their LLC, Ari's LLC, which is called Instagram Husband LLC. I would also like to say that Ari and Lauren just bought a second home in Hawaii. Like, if you're buying a second
home
in Hawaii,
saying, sell the fucking house in Hawaii, like, then. Like, that's I just don't feel bad.
You know, they also said they had employees to pay and things like that. It's like, okay, but this is where Nick's argument comes in, too. It's like, yeah, understandable. You, like, if you want to go, if you just buy, like, what is allowed, what is legal, yes, they can do that. And yes, it happened. Do, like, the morality of it is where you're like, you know, maybe they didn't necessarily need to do that. But, of course, like they said, and like, you know, Chris Randone was saying also, the system, that's how it was working, and people took advantage of that. And who do we be mad at? The people who took advantage of it, or, you know, the tippy top, the fact that that was even allowed in the first place.
Right. I think it's both. It's like, all right, like, okay, well, they got their money. And that's that.
Yeah.
But is it the right thing to do?
Yeah.
Not really.
Probably not. And like I said, and I said it before, it's the
case by case basis as well, though. I don't want to just write everyone off and act like everyone has a bunch of money, because you don't know. But at the same time, you can kind of get a gist when you look at their actions on social media.
Look at the followers they have. Look at the numbers that the followers they have on their children's accounts. It's like
they can make money in a drop of a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. So that really blew up. And like we said, I think Nick did a great job talking about it. And I know it'll blow over. People won't care about this in a week. But man, that Bachelor Reddit, they're always digging.
They are relentless. So we finally know how Lisa Rinna feels about her daughter Amelia's relationship with Scott Disick. It aired this week on Beverly Hills Housewives. Yeah. Lisa Rinna said, you know, she was shocked by this news. She wasn't thrilled about
it. Didn't love it.
Didn't love it because of the age difference, of course. Raised some eyebrows.
She gave her classic, like, he's 37 with three kids. Hello.
I mean, I love Lisa Rinna's reactions. But where I thought it got crazy was how she mentioned that she would rather these new headlines than the old headlines about Amelia's eating disorders. But I was like, how is this even a conversation? She's like, well, you know, at least
she's
going
to be in the press, at least, is for this.
Right. Like, she's not dealing with the old headlines. I was like, you know what? I guess Hollywood.
Look, that's
this is Beverly Hills.
Lisa Rinna does seem like the kind of person who finds a silver lining in all things. And that could definitely be it. But
this was kind of the reaction we expected. What are you going to do? Your daughter's dating Scott Disick. She's running around Miami with him. He's dyeing his hair blonde. They're all over social media. Her ass is on there. They're in a phase, both of them.
Yeah,
not just Amelia, Scott as well is in a phase, and they're just gonna have to let it play out.
Lisa Rinna also really hopes that it's a phase. You know, she's talking to Erica Jane in the car, and she's like, oh, you know, Erica was like, well, what does Harry think? And it's like, oh, you know Harry, and it's, I also think that Harry, you know, when he was young in his 20s, he dated an older woman, and they look back, and it was a phase, and so, like, hopefully this is just a phase. Like, she just kept saying the word phase, like, thinking that this will blow over at some point. That's probably the case. And then just maneuvering it, I was laughing at her saying, Erica had asked, like, have you heard from anyone on that side of the family, because, you know, Lisa and Kris Jenner are friends. And she was like, nope, like, I'm not reaching out to them. They're
give us,
like,
a crossover.
She was like, do I call Chris, like, do I text her and just be like, well, and she's like,
oops.
And she had said that, you know, there had not been any communication about it. I don't know if that's changed since they filmed the episodes, because their relationship has kind of, I guess you could say, gotten more serious.
Definitely.
I feel like since then, so perhaps they have, maybe they haven't. But Lisa, I feel like, dealing it with the best way she can. Like Erica said, there's nothing there's nothing you can do about it in that position, because Erica's like, if you push, then she pushes back even harder and it becomes an even bigger thing, and you just kind of gotta let
it
happen.
That's life. When you're not supposed to do something, you just want to do it more.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm not allowed to do this? Well, what if I do?
Yeah. You know who seems like a very chill guy is Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that
Hamlin's
so,
always
like
nonchalant. All right.
I've been there, done that. Like,
I just feel like dealing with two daughters and Lisa Rinna, and he's just like a go with the flow kind of guy, which he has to be, but it made a lot of sense in that case. And Erica, you know, a lot of this divorce talk continues around Erica, but nothing really damning, like, no.
There was a rumor about Scooter Braun.
There's
I don't even
about
know how Scooter Braun got into this.
There was a rumor about, because I
Scooter
think,
Braun called.
I think she was, like, renting a house next to Scooter's. Wasn't that the case?
The LA rental.
They were neighbors. Yeah, the LA rental. And then there was also rumors about her and Gleb Shevchenko, yeah, that they were dance partners on Dance with the Stars. That one, you know, maybe could have a little bit more legs just because of Gleb.
Yeah, you get a hot guy, you get a pretty girl, put them together.
Yeah, and Gleb's just, you know, stuff. Been part of his own problems in the last year or so. But she totally denied those things, said just not the case, laughed it off. She said she met Scooter at some political event like 4 or 5 years ago, and she was with Tom, so it like wasn't, there's just, because she's like, I haven't talked to either of those people in years.
And what was Tom up to, Erica?
Who the hell
stealing
knows?
People's money?
Who the hell? Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
No, but it's, yeah. So I feel like we are getting these moments on the show that the beginning of the season, we were like, ooh, we can't wait for them to talk about this, and we can't wait for them to talk about that. And it's satisfying, but also not quite what I hoped for.
We hyped it up in our head. We thought Scott was coming on the show.
I really hyped it up.
We thought we were getting a crossover.
Thought Lisa was like going to freak out.
Yeah.
Or like,
I mean, they
More from America, which I really didn't think we were
going to
get.
They live in fucking Beverly Hills. This shit happens all day long. I don't think anything could really surprise these people anymore. So yeah. I think we hyped it up, but it's good to see it play out. We're about to get into the Charlie Jordan interview, but first, it is vacation time and summer is officially here, 4th of July weekend, and Coors Seltzer is going to make our summer and our weekend even better because they have the orange cream pop flavor, which is the new Coors Seltzer flavor, and it's like summer in a can. It's reminiscent of that, you know, sitting on the beach, having a nice popsicle, enjoying on a warm, sunny day. It's perfect for the beach, so make sure you're picking up your orange cream pop. You can get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart or Drizzly, or you can go to coursesseltzer.com/chicks to see where you can purchase it. It is a Rocky Mountain refreshment now in a hard seltzer brewed in Fort Worth, Texas. Remember to celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas. For every 12-pack sold through December 31st, 2021, Coors will purchase services from Change the Coors to restore 500 gallons of fresh river water, max 5 billion gallons through 2021. The details are on CoorsSeltzer.com, so go to CoorsSeltzer.com/chicks, see where you can buy the orange cream pop. Enjoy your summer, people, and make sure to tag at Coors Light in your post of you drinking it. Cheers. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so
much.
The
world's most refreshing podcast.
Yes.
All right, everyone, we are here with a very special guest. We got Charlie Jordan, TikTok star, model, DJ, creator of Smoke Roses on the show. We are so excited to have you. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I've watched you guys' show for a long time, so it's nice to finally be able to be a part of it.
We're super excited. I think Rhea loves to hear that. You know, Rhea has talked about you so much, too, and it's been to the point where, like, we haven't quite dabbled in having a lot of, I would say, you know, TikTokers and things like that on our show, but she was like, we gotta get Charlie.
Yeah, because I saw when you went on BFFs and they were like, oh, would you guys want Charlie on the show? I was like, absolutely. Because I've been following you for a while now, because I don't know what term to use, like fellow pothead stoner. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's like a cliche term to use, but I respect the shit out of you, because first of all, you created Smoke Roses, which I want to talk about the process of that, but you just like post videos of yourself smoking, you're open about it, and when I do that and I see it happen with you too, I see people be like, oh, like you think you're so cool because you're smoking, and I'm just like, we don't think we're cool, we just enjoy it. And people post videos of themselves drinking all the time.
Yeah, I think that at first I was super hesitant to post about it just in general, because it is more of like a taboo thing, but it's just part of who I am, and I feel like it's always really important to be authentic, you know, your most authentic self, and just be honest with people. So it's so funny, I actually, have you guys had Tana on here?
No,
we have not. She's hard to track down.
Yeah, she's very hard to track down. I will agree with you on that. But it's so funny. So her and I actually went to high school together. And I remember DMing her when I was 18 being like, I'm like, how do you post about weed? I was like, how do you post about weed and not get like arrested? I'm like, what is going on? And so I kind of asked her, and she was like, honestly, like, I just don't really care. And I was like, okay. I was like, that's a good answer. And then, you know, so many people kind of advised me against it. And when I did start posting about it and started being open about it, the response that I got from it was overwhelmingly positive. there are definitely people that, you know, are like, smoking is not cool, whatever. But it's usually like, even when you read those comments, you can tell that it's like a 13-year-old that's typing it.
Right. And you're like, just wait like 2 years.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know. It's usually people that don't smoke, right? And like, I totally understand their point of view too. Like, and that's the part about the internet. You just have to not really care about what other people think, because for me, cannabis has helped me so much with, you know, from eating to anxiety to sleep. Like, I travel all the time, so it's something that has helped me so much, and I attach mental health to it a lot, across all my brands, from Beauty and Pain to Smoke Roses, and that's sort of like the basis of it. And obviously it's fun to make like smoking videos every once and again, and people won't ever get the context for it. Like, not every single video I post of me smoking, I'm going to be like advocating for mental health, right? You know, like, I smoke like on a consistent basis, so some people see it, some people don't. People who actually care and care to take the proper like research, I feel like will always find like, oh, like, she made a smoking product that is organic and probably the cleanest thing you can smoke on the market to date. I spent 2.5 years building that business, and I'm 50-50 partners with someone in it, so it's not like I white labeled a product and slapped my name on it. I came up with a completely original idea and spent so long trying to get it made. And then when it finally, you know, everyone, especially being an influencer, they just want to make money off of you. So it's like, hey, slap your name on this merch, slap your name on this product, and do this. And, you know, I just don't find too much fulfillment from doing that. So, you know, having cannabis go from like a hobby to a full-blown like passion project was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's become a business for you. And I agree. I see more creators now creating something from scratch rather than just slapping their name on a label, because it shows that you guys are putting in the work, you're putting in the time, you care about the product. How did you come up with Smoke Roses? Because, I mean, the name is genius, but also it's just, it's literal rose petals, right?
Yeah, it's completely untouched organic rose petals. So the whole cone, it's like, so they're completely intact and they're just laid around in a cone shape. So they're bright red, bright purple. I came up with the idea because I only started doing TikTok like a year ago, but prior to that, I've done Instagram for 5 years and I made travel videos for a living. That's like how I got my start in social media. And I traveled all over the world, predominantly to developing countries, for around 2.5-3 years. And they smoke all sorts of different like things. Like, I saw people smoke so many different crazy things, from, you know, banana leaves to lavender to all these like different alternatives. And I was like, wow, like, why hasn't the United States adopted any of these like plant-based smoking methods? And it's not like it was even intentional. It's like they just didn't have the resources to go buy like raw rolling papers or something like that. And so I was like, okay, like, has this been made? And I literally spent like 2 weeks Googling. I was like, this has to already exist. And it just didn't. So that's kind of like how I came up with the idea for it. And rose petals specifically, I've just always loved roses, and I wanted to pick a plant that had some health benefits to it. So roses are super aromatherapeutic. People drink rose water. They use rose, you know, hip oil on their face. It has a lot of health benefits, as well as the goji berry cones that I just came out with, actually, which is goji berries are a superfood. They have a lot of antioxidants in it. So I'm trying to pick plants that are beneficial to the body as well.
Yeah.
And just make, because I have asthma also, which is so ironic being a stoner. So I want to make products that that don't trigger my asthma.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at your stuff, to me, it's like, I didn't even know you could do that. Like, I didn't even know that you could smoke with those and with those things.
Can I ask you, does it make you, for somebody who, because Fran doesn't smoke often, but yeah, you like pretty things when you smoke.
I do.
So do those make you want to smoke more?
100%.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like it like lures people in a little bit.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. I saw it and was like, ooh, that's what I like.
Yeah, we
like,
got to get our hand on some of those. I don't know. Hint, hint.
I am going to send you guys a shit ton. Literally, they're so fun to take pictures with too, because they are, the aesthetic and like the design for it is, it's my favorite thing ever. Like, they just look so pretty, and there's not a lot of female geared cannabis brands or smoking brands in general. So I really try to like push that, because I think women are beautiful. I think smoking is beautiful. Roses are beautiful. You know, roses within itself, like flowers, are kind of like, not like an aphrodisiac, but they kind of like give off that very like romantic vibe. So definitely, I just love like being able to tie like smoking into like a non-grungy, you know, taking like a bong rip out of your college dorm, like a dirty bar.
Yeah, makes like it super, in a frat house.
It makes it feel super classy, which I'm all about.
Yes. Definitely.
I'm super cool.
Classy. Yeah. Super cool. Exactly. Super
well,
smart.
Whenever you guys get them, let me know what you think.
Oh, absolutely. I will. And I'll definitely post pictures in it as well because, you know, I'm all about yes, that. Sure. But you mentioned that you only started TikTok after you did your travel videos. You were on Instagram. And we've seen with a lot of people kind of like, I don't want to call it overnight success because obviously it takes time, but people blow up fast on there. So what was that like kind of getting accustomed to that so quickly?
It was super weird because I put so much time and work into my Instagram, and it's much harder to grow on Instagram than it is on TikTok.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm to 4.6 million on Instagram in 5 years and then 6.6 on TikTok in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm just crazy. Like, what is going on? I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, especially coming from someone who, like, you know, studied the algorithm of Instagram, and like to have a completely different platform that is so different. I actually really liked it because TikTok was a bit more decentralized, like the For You page, like how it serves you random people's videos. Like on Instagram, I kind of only see the people that I follow versus TikTok, where you're just getting served like people from all over the world, different everything, cultures, ethnicities, belief systems, the whole mental health side of TikTok. Like I feel like it also brought this whole new beauty standard in, which was really cool because Instagram was very like model, like, yeah, skinny blonde, like, you know, we love Alexis Rin, but that was the vibe, you know, right, forever ago. And now it's like you have your Addison Rae's and Sienna Mae's, and I absolutely love, you know, the more curvy, outgoing, you know, personality based side of women on TikTok versus just like Instagram model.
Yeah.
And it's given people, like, there weren't too many quote unquote Instagram models that carried over into TikTok, if you really think about it. When I really try to think about people that did what I did that carried over, it's very few and far in between. I actually can't really think of any. Maybe like My Life is Ava. But even like, I don't know, just because it's not just about pictures. Like you can't hide behind.
Right. You need a personality.
On TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't, you know, you can't Photoshop video. It's, yeah, like who you are. It's what you look like. And like the people that I've been on TikTok actually through and through are pretty much who they say they are, which is really cool. Like, I really enjoy that because on Instagram there were quite a few times where I would meet people that I looked up to for years and I was like, hold on.
Right, because you have no idea what you're getting at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't look like, you don't sound like, you don't feel like anything that you just put out. Like, I'm so confused. So I don't know. I think it's definitely been something to get used to, but also the toxicity on TikTok is pretty crazy. It's a super young audience and it's a lot of people expressing their opinion on things that they don't necessarily understand.
Yeah.
And when it's thousands of kids or people doing that, it can be extremely overwhelming for the people that are putting out content.
Yeah, TikTok is, we've talked about it, feels like sometimes like you can grow and blow up so fast, but it can be so volatile sometimes, like just the things that kids attach to and blow up in the comment section, in the comments, and all of a sudden it's this whole big thing. Like, how have you dealt with kind of backlash from TikTok compared to, you know, doing Instagram for so long and not having it really be a problem?
Yeah, my Instagram is super positive. TikTok, because like you're saying, people blow up so quickly with the kids attached to, it's not really about who you are as a person. They're attaching to something else. So like, you know, even with my TikTok audience, obviously I started dating someone who did TikTok and it was a lot of his audience, right? So they had no idea who I was. There are so many people who will come onto my TikTok and they're like, oh, she's just a TikToker. Like literally people who follow me on TikTok think that that's all I do. Yeah. It's hilarious. I'm like, if you just did a little bit of research, like you would see that I've been doing this for a year. People will call me like a TikToker when that is like actually what I put the least amount of time into, which is so funny to me. But yeah, they attach onto something super quick, and the controversy, like, honestly, I've just learned to ignore it because those people really don't know the situation or know anything about you. So I think it's important to address those situations and clear the air for people, but to not get emotionally attached to what people are saying because, yeah, they really don't have any idea. Like, it's pretty crazy looking at comment threads of people speculating over what's happening when, and all of it being incorrect. I'm like, yeah, you realize that you're wasting like hours of your life talking about someone or something that you have no idea about and you're just speculating on it. And, you know, some people may enjoy that, but I definitely don't.
And it also moves in waves a lot of the time. Like, for weeks at a time, you'll see the comments raving over a certain person, and then one tiny thing happens, and it just is like a mob mentality of people just destroying somebody. It's crazy, because I think everyone has to remind themselves, like, it is a lot of young kids who really haven't experienced anything yet.
Yeah.
And they just think they see one comment about how they should be acting, and then they take that, which is almost a little scary to think about.
It is very scary. It's a lot of fake news, a lot of misinformation. And I talk about that a lot, about just not trusting what you see on the internet. Like, I think the internet is fun for entertainment purposes and consumption of that, but when people like really believe everything that they see of like, this happened to this person or whatever, I'm like, you're only hurting yourself, because you're literally just paying attention to fake information. And there's so much fake news too. Like, it's a very interesting thing. You even see it in like the political system, like when presidential debates are going on, like the things that people talk about, like, no one even really knows what's going on most of the time. And it's so much confusion. And that's the part where I feel like influencers should take a bit more responsibility upon themselves to address certain situations. Or like, I don't know if you guys know who Amelie Zilber is, but she is like super involved in the political system. Like, I love how she's actually taking it up on herself to properly educate people, because when you have millions of followers, you do have an impact on those people. And I think that responsibility is really important. And if you don't take that responsibility seriously, then why are you having a platform? Like, what's the point of those millions of people following if you're not going to push out some sort of message or positive information, just in general? Cause it's a huge responsibility. Yeah. And all those kids that don't know what's going on or don't know what to believe, don't know what to think, you are guiding them in some type of way. So I think it's super important to acknowledge that.
I 100%, I totally agree with you. And what Amelie does on her platform is really, really cool. And it's just the comments are so crazy. And you mentioned kind of having this like TikTok relationship and things blowing up, but now people still kind of hold you to that, I feel like. Like, I watched your TikTok from yesterday, right? And Austin Mahone's in it. And I was like, let's see what people are saying. And every single comment's like, we ship, we stand, we need you guys together. Like, do you find it now to be almost impossible to kind of date or even have friends that are guys and share them on any form of social media?
Yes. That's a flat out yes. Like, there's not even anytime I hang out with anyone who is the opposite gender, it doesn't matter who it is. It's unfortunate how
so
much
annoying.
People sexualize people as well. Like, it's so, and it just is degrading. Like, I even, you know, like Vinny Hacker, okay? Like, this kid, everyone's been talking about, like, Vinny Hacker is the For You page. Like, he's such a sweet kid. He's so, like, shy and just, like, nice. And he's just being over-sexualized like crazy. And I literally hit him up and I was like, hey, yo, like, if you just need a friend to talk to, like, I'm always here, because that, I know how that feels and that sucks, because usually that happens to girls. But now I see it happening to guys too. Like, and I'm just like, yo, like, I get that people look a type of way, but chill with that, you know? Like,
everything is sexual. Everything. It's like,
yeah, like, Austin is just a homie, you know? We filmed a YouTube video yesterday because we both write music. So we did like a little challenge, and everyone's like shipping us, ships me with anyone, even with Tana, dude.
Yeah.
I legitimately got asked about dating Tana and I was like, come on guys. Like, like, anyone that I hang out with at this point. So, you know, everyone likes to, especially because, you know, of what I post or the way that I look, like, people just inherently assume that that's what I'm doing. And that's, I think I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder, and that's why I work so hard in all the other aspects of my life to try to get people to see that more, because that's what I care about. And every time someone comes up to me and goes, oh, you're actually smart, or, oh, you can actually DJ, it automatically puts all the things that I consider cool about myself at like this very low point. And it makes me realize that people are just focusing on the way that I look, which is like super frustrating. But also, like, this is how it is. And like, I know that people aren't trying to do that on purpose. So again, like, it's one of those things that I've just chosen to let go. I think a big part of being on social media is just picking and choosing your battles and learning when to let things go and, like, address certain things that are, like, more serious, like, you know, the whole how you look or people talking about you, like, and honestly, like, my ex, Taylor, like, helped me a lot with that because he is really big on TikTok, and I've never seen someone deal with so much controversy ever online, and just watching him, like, have the patience to go through all that stuff was impressive to me, and it definitely taught me a lot.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I feel like must have heard this a bunch of times, but it's, you know yourself, you know how hard you work on all these other things in your life, and all your friends know that as well, so who really cares at the end of the day what some commenters are going to say about it?
That is super important, having a good group around you of people who actually spend time with you and actually know what you're doing.
Definitely.
To validate that. But yeah, it's a crazy world out there right now, and especially since everything's opening back up, like, I love doing social media, but I just think it should be like a side note to other things that you're doing. So music,
you're out there DJing. You've been in Miami.
Yes. Everywhere. Every weekend. It's like Charlie Jordan's here. She's DJing. She's at Vegas. 11. She's in Miami. You're doing all these amazing shows.
You guys have to come to 11.
Fucking bad. I want to so bad. Brie was there like a couple of weekends ago, and she had the best time of her life. I was like, I got to get there.
Her birthday's coming up the end of July. I think that's when we got to go.
We might go Rolling Loud Miami weekend. Maybe 11
that
as well.
That sounds amazing. I'm also playing in Vegas on July 23rd if you want to celebrate your birthday out there for some reason.
We might have to switch to Vegas and then go to Miami right after that.
Her birthday is July 26th. Yes. So.
Oh, that's real close. That's exciting. How old are you turning?
24.
Happy early birthday. If I don't see you until then.
We're lying and just saying 23 because last year, like, didn't exist. We didn't get to celebrate anything. So we're aging backwards at this point. But the DJing is unbelievable. How have you felt with all of this kind of taking off and with you really traveling and doing so many shows?
It's weird because it just feels like it's how it's supposed to be. I thought I was going to be really, really nervous. Obviously, I had that... all of just DJing in general get ripped away from me this whole past year. The day that I was supposed to play an opening show for Nicki Romero at Hawkasan in Las Vegas, I'd been working towards it with my team for like a year and a half. The day that I was supposed to play, Donald Trump went on TV and was like, hey, everything's shut down, go home.
Yeah.
And so I was in Vegas, woke up thinking I was going to play like my debut show at Hawkasan. And I ended up having to get a rental car and drive back to California before they closed the state borders for quarantine.
Oh, man.
And it just sucked. Like, it literally all fell apart. And so this whole past year, I just spent a lot of time practicing, a lot of time making music, a lot of time self-reflecting. And, yeah, from going from traveling all the time to not at all, I honestly went through... I think everyone tried to be the best that they could during the quarantine. But looking back now that I am DJing and traveling, and I'm like, man, I was depressed. Like, that sucks. Like, I really wasn't able to travel. I wasn't able to make music, which is like two of the main things that I did for like 3 years straight. So that was crazy. And just getting back into it, I'm honestly just really grateful. Even if I am exhausted or overwhelmed or whatever, which it definitely is, because it's a lot of pressure. There's not that many female DJs in general. So stepping into like a male dominated industry and the influencer crossover into being an artist, people are always super skeptical about that. So the pressure is definitely there. And like I was saying, like the main thing I hear after I play my sets is, oh, you can actually DJ. Like, yeah, I don't think I would have a residency in Las Vegas if I couldn't actually.
Yeah,
DJ.
They're not just putting up anybody.
No. And not some random city, it's Las Vegas.
Yeah. Like you have to be fucking good.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and it's I just love having all these people. Like the weird part about social media too is like, yes, you have all these followers, but you are never seeing them, you're never interacting with them. Those people don't know you. So like with DJing, it's so cool because there's all these people like right there, and I can see them, I can feel them, and it's like this incredible energy. And I'm also born and raised in Las Vegas from there, so you know, I was sneaking into EDC when I was like 16 years old. I was a rave girl turned DJ now, but I love that culture and I love that community. It's something that I'm genuinely passionate about, which is really incredible. So I definitely get nervous and I'm overwhelmed and exhausted, but honestly, like, just really grateful to be doing this. And yeah, I have such an incredible team and friends. So I'm excited to see how far I can take this. I ultimately want to be playing festivals. I'm about to have a song come out this Friday.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
What?
I said, that's what I was going to ask you about. I said, you have a new single coming out.
Yes. So I love, like, you know, it's Pride Month this month. And, you know, Lady Gaga, you've heard that audio going around TikTok where it's like bus, club,
yes,
another club, plane. Yeah. So I was like, this audio is great. And it's like a beat. She's like really like going on time to it. So I kind of wanted to play off of that. And I actually made an entire house remix out of that specific audio, just kind of like in honor of Pride Month. I grew up in a super conservative Mormon family and watched so many of my friends struggle with being who they actually were, even still to this day. So being able to make like a fun house song that's also meaningful and has a message behind it. It'll also be releasing on the day that I play like my first residency show in Vegas. So really exciting.
That's awesome. People good will, for you.
People
that's
are gonna go nuts off when on they TikTok. Hear that. Yeah, actually, like in real, like I feel like being at that show and hearing you play that, people are gonna lose it. They'll have so much fun, and obviously,
I'm so excited.
Like recognize it right away.
Yeah, it's that. That's a genius idea. You're doing amazing things. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really had a great time talking to you, and we hope that we can meet you in person one day. And we want to try Smoke Roses.
Yeah.
100%. Yes, I'm going to send you guys the Smoke Roses, and then I'm going to send you some of these necklaces, too. This yes. is my Beauty and Pain brand, and it's also all about mental health. So I'll send you guys some rose cones, some goji berry cones, necklaces. Let me know Hell what yeah. you think, and hopefully I'll get to meet you guys in person at some point.
Amazing. Awesome. Thanks so it. Much, Charlie.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me on, guys.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you subscribe there as well. We love you guys so much. We appreciate you listening and supporting every show. We hope that you guys have a great week. We're going to have a great week, and we will be back Monday, July 12th. Don't miss us too much, even though...
Stay on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Get crazy, get loud, let's party, get loud. Everybody have a great weekend. So golden.